Blog Talk Radio.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? In the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
Hallelujah. 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 Good evening. I'm your host, Brother Shabal. Government name, Brother Rob, Beth Yahweh Congregation, Baltimore, Maryland. Apologies. The show was set for Sunday when the new moon came in. I was busy Sunday of taking my son and my grandson back to the airport because they came in town. Apologize for that. Sunday at sunset was the first of Sebet, the 11th month of the Gregorian calendar, which fell on the 11th month of Yahweh calendar, which fell on the 22nd day of the Gregorian calendar, first month, January. Tonight at sunset is the 4th of Sebet, the 11th month of Yahweh. Before we start, have your utensils. Most importantly, have your Bible accompanying you and a notepad so you can take some notes. This program is archived, so you'll be able to go back if there's anything that you wanted to hear again or may have missed. As I once stated, Brother Rob, Brother Shabbat, Beth Yahweh Congregation, Baltimore, Maryland, the tutelage of Yaka'el, Ben Gershom, Ben Daniel, Yahushua HaMashiach, spiritual leader. Let's open up with a prayer. Bow your hearts. Father Yah, thank you for waking me up today. Thank you for all those who are listening at the broadcast, giving them the breath of life. Father Yah, thank you for being with us throughout this day, and we make it to our destination safely. Father Yah, forgive us of all our sins and trespasses, sins knowingly and unknowingly, Father Yah. May we decrease and you increase and open up our spiritual ears and spiritual eyes, Father Yah. Watch over our spiritual leader, Brother Rabbi Yaka'el, and his family. Continue to strengthen him and lead and guide him in your truth and your light. Watch over all the Kohen. Strengthen them and continue to give them your word and your light. Heal all my Kohen brothers that may be ailing physically, spiritually, or emotionally. Continue to strengthen them. Continue to strengthen our dark ends. Continue to strengthen our sisters in the congregation so they can be good helpmeets, those who are married. Those who are not married, continue to strengthen them so they can continue to go forth with the commission that has been placed on one of the sisters, Titus, bats of Yahweh, pulling down and tearing down the spirit of Jezebel that's disguised under feminism now in this modern time. Watch over all our young adults, can you strengthen and lead them and give them the courage to stand for your word and be spokesmen for the Most High, because they're the future. Watch over our young teenagers as they strengthen them to have courage. Watch over all the little ones, our children, the congregation, because they're the future. Continue to watch over Sister Debbie and strengthen her as she recover daily. Continue to strengthen Sister Naomi as you recover in your will, Yahweh. Strengthen her family so they all can be comfort as they wait on her healing. And then continue to help their unbeliefs, Father Yah. Bless all of Israel. Forgive them of their sins, knowingly. Father God, forgive me of anything that I failed to mention. Don't charge it to me, my frailties. But as your words say in Romans chapter 8, you know what to pray for before we even answer it. And I thank you, Father Yah, in the name of your Son, Yahushua, our soon coming King and Redeemer. Amen. I'm going to read the opening blessing, family. If you can hear me, somebody send a thumbs up. No sense me going on. Okay. Open blessing. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and the mighty one of our forefathers, inaugurate for us this month for good and for blessing, for joy and for gladness, for salvation and for consolation, for sustenance and support, for good life and peace, for pardon of sin and forgiveness of iniquity. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, who sanctifies Israel in the new moon. Amen. So, I just was sitting. I've been home since 5:45. I've just been sitting, just thinking and just looking over scriptures and things. And for some reason, I came to came across the book of, well, what came to my mind, it was a few things. Because at work today, Samuel came to my mind. And last week, David came to my mind. 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, you know, pertaining to Elkanah and Hannah. You familiar with those? They were Samuel's parents. He was barren. You know how the story goes. 1 Samuel chapter 1-3. He was barren, and she prayed, went to the temple and all, prayed for a child. And God granted her wishes. And he was raised up. But she made a vow. She made a vow that if the child was given to her, she would give him back to Yahweh. And saying giving back to Yahweh was for like offering him back for temple services. So therefore, Samuel grew up under the high priest at the time. The Temple of Solomon hasn't been built yet. So at the time, we worship in a place called Shiloh. And Eli was the high priest at the time. And Samuel was raised under him, learning the ways of the Most High. And like I said, that came to my mind. And then also last week, David was on my mind. 2 Samuel chapter 24, I believe, the last chapter or so of 2 Samuel, when David, he disobeyed Yahweh, in a way where he censored Israel. He asked Joab to go out and count all of Israel, and you know, the army of Israel. And at first I was wondering, where's my pen? I was wondering, like, why am I looking at that? I mean, why am I going this way? And like I said, just the stories of the scriptures just come to my mind. And Brother Ahabel did a beautiful, he's not finished either. That was part one of it. He's going to finish it this upcoming Sabbath morning, Yahweh, on his Sabbath morning class. Can these bones live? Will these bones come to life? Valley of the Dry Bones from Ezekiel. And if you didn't get a chance to hear it, you can go and listen to that. And I'm waiting anxiously to hear the conclusion of that. Way the brother set it up beautifully, because I have some things I want to say or ask myself. I'm not going to ask yet until after the class, when he finishes it. You know, so I don't want to be like, oh, Chavel, why you spoil that? I can't wait till my man finish this. Yahweh continue to lead him and guide him. And today I sat here and none of those came to my mind. For some reason I thought about this month and the month of Sabbath. Deuteronomy has, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 3, it says, in the 11th month, first day of the 11th month, it speaks about how Moshe addressed the children of Israel. And they came to my, but what came to my mind was, what struck me stood out in that verse. It said it was the 40th year of the 11th month. And I thought about it, because if I wasn't mistaken, Yahweh had told Israel because of the hardness of their heart and not sanctifying them and, you know, having faith in them, that no one over the age of 20, I think it was, would enter into the land, the new promised land, when he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, cross over the Jordan. And as we know, only two people entered out of that generation, because people still were being born, you know, through Israel, because, you know, Yahweh blessed, you know, them to multiply and be fruitful. Like, that was part of the blessing also. But only Caleb and the son of Nun, Hoshea, whose name got changed to Yahushua, Joshua, only those two that was in that generation, they were allowed to cross over with in the company of Moses' son, who became the high priest, following the steed of Aaron, who had to turn over his garments, because Yahweh told Aaron that he would not enter into the promised land either, just like Moses. And Eleazar took over. And it just was, like I said, just reading through things, because I was thinking about the Ahabel lesson, about the can the bones live? And I was just thinking about, because what came to my mind was how Moshe, they said, Michael, the archangel, was, you know, talking amongst Hasatan about the bones of Moshe, the body, and it says to this day no one knows where that body is at. And I just was thinking, like, no one knows where Aaron's body is at either. So I just was just sitting here just going through some of the things in the Torah, Yaakov, Brother Yariel, just thinking of some of the things in the tour. Apologize. I hope I ain't cut somebody off. I hit something. And just thinking of some of the things in the tour came to my mind. And if I'm not mistaken, Miriam died first. So I was like, oh, okay. I said, okay, it was, because we know the offense of what happened to Moses. He didn't sanctify the people before Yahweh when he should have spoken to the rock. He struck the rock. So it caused him not to enter the promised land, but Yahweh did allow him to walk up and look over the promised land. Aaron, his offense was that when Moshe went up to speak to Yahweh, to commune with Yahweh for 40 days and 40 nights, that he let the people persuade him into building a golden calf. You know, some of the spoils that they got from leaving Egypt, because they had just left Egypt and they was in the wilderness on a journey. And so that caused him not to enter the promised land. And I didn't get a chance to, I just sat here and just was thinking, I didn't get a chance to see it, but if I'm not mistaken, Mary died first. Oh yeah, Aaron died in the first day of the fifth month. He died in the 40th year. That's what caught my eye. That's how I all started. 40th year, first day of the fifth month. And then, like I said, Deuteronomy 1, chapter 1, verse 3 said, in the 40th year, the 11th month. So therefore, And we went over this before at Beth Yahweh. Moses is getting ready to give up the ghost also, because that's the 11th month, so he only had what? Adar, and that's it, because knowing from the scriptures that what Yahweh told Moses, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and then you look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 4, it's called, say, a bee, so you would know that he said, this is the beginning of your year. So as believers, I'm sure you may have had a chance to witness and tell people. I've done it all since December, really, Hanukkah time came in. And I had to tell people when people was, I still heard someone today, I found it funny. On my job, I was in the, they were in the hallway outside the office, and they saw one of my coworkers come out. He said, "Hey, Happy New Year." And I kind of laughed. And I guess they was like, "What's up with Rob?" But a couple of them didn't know, but they probably slipped their mind. But this is not a new year for a believer of the Most High. When I say a believer of the Most High, it was something I heard on the radio a long time ago. I used to listen to a lot of 90s Christian radio before I became a Beth Yahweh. And before I even knew about Blog Talk, well, we didn't even have Blog Talk when I first came at Beth Yahweh. Blog Talk, Yahweh put on Rabbi Yakael to start this. So that's a beautiful thing. It kind of reminds me, like I said, I was looking through the scripture, it kind of reminds me of, we are the people of the book. We live in the book because what I mean by this, for instance, I'm going to give two examples. If you look in the book of Psalms, I think it's Psalms go to 145, if I'm not mistaken. Excuse me, Psalms 150. Let me look at that real quick. Yeah, the book of Psalms goes up to 149. 150. I apologize. I didn't see that correctly. Psalms go to 150. Make sure that. Yes. Psalms go to 150. But it's something I always learned since I've been at Beth Yahweh. And I say Psalms, part of the Psalms in the 66 books in the Torah that we have right there. But as we're children also of the Most High, and we following the same steed of Adam, Enoch, Noah, you understand what I'm trying to say, all the way up to David, and come all the way through the apostles. And I say we had Psalms 151, because we had an elder, Moses, our brother Eliezer. He penned, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he penned a few Psalms. So that's why I always say, in my little quiet time, I laugh. And when I have a Psalm book, I say, that's Psalms 151. And then this is Psalms 152. And then we met some people in my journey with coming to Beth Yahweh, a sister, her family, they sung some songs. And so I said, that's added more songs to the book of songs that we know David penned majority of those songs. And so I was just thinking like that, because I thought about how he gave Moshe the law, and then he gave David the 24 song, the 24 courses of the priestly duty. So I'm seeing how everything is just keep the transmission. It just keeps going. It keeps building and building. It doesn't stop. I know some people say, "Well, you adding to the words and don't add the word." Take it with. I'm not adding to the word where I'm something new. I'm just adding to the word. I'm not adding to the word at all. I'm just looking at how the word can still keep growing, manifesting. And if you're walking in the same light and the same way, the path of the Most High, it's the consistency of it. It's not adding anything or making a new doctrine. That's basically what I was coming to think of. And so those things just had me thinking of like, wow, how this life is in this world. Because Blog Talk came along, and now Blog Talk is just, that could be sort of like how the apocryphal books is, that's out of a writing called Apocryphal Books. I said Blog Talk could be put in that kind of category 50 years from now. I probably won't be here. Yeah, I will, because I'm 55 right now. So, I mean, God do, it's a blessing, God, but 70 years, 80 years from now, and I said, it kind of reminded me how the transmission is still being the children of the kingdom, still doing the ways of the Most High to make the word be more understanding and give a person more insight and more clarity on the word. And so that way they can rightly divide the word. They can go in Blog Talk and take and see whatever was in the Torah and the scriptures. They can see Blog Talk teachers supported whatever was in the Torah, and then the Holy Spirit could give them some insight. The reason why I thought came across that, because I used to be in a sect before I came to Beth Yahweh, was the Seventh-day Adventist. And they had they believed in a prophetess, and she wrote a lot of things. And a lot of people had put her word that I came across over the tour. And her name was Ellen G. White. And when I went to read some of her writing, I didn't see it like that. So I came to find out a lot of people, they didn't really read her writings in depth. They just heard someone say last. Because some of the things I read that she wrote, she told you, look at the Bible, see what God's word said. Most of the things she said, do what God's word said. Then some things that she went off. But the things that I used to hear people stand on, and I would go and read, and I'm like, it's not what she said. She said do this. But people, because I've come to find over the time, people want to build up their denominational belief and doctrines over the word of God. So it's just like nothing changed, nothing new under the sun, like Yahshua said to them in Matthew. I think it was Matthew 15 or Mark 7. He said, you take the traditions of man and you put them over God's word. And I said, nothing new under the sun. We living right now in 2023, and we still see that. Instead of going right, what thus say, what the Torah say, bam, examine yourself, see if this. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, despise not prophecy, hold fast to what's good, and abstain from evil, and prove all things. We won't do it. It's right there. So we won't make any errors, and we can know if we walk in the light of the Most High, like Brother Yerhill had brought out in his teaching about 3 Sabbaths ago when he taught and closed the book of Hebrews. And he that was some of his, it came to my, I can remember, I recall that was some of his scriptures that he supported scriptures. He went through 2 Timothy 3:15 when he said, use the scriptures, Yahweh's scriptures, for reproof, rebuke, correction, so you can fully be furnished, be a man, and doing the acceptable will of the Most High. Because we all know there's a way to sing right, that way seems to death, leads to death. So that being said, it's really a lot of lesson, because like I said, these things came to my mind, but by them coming to my mind, I just want to share some things that came to me also last Tuesday. When I was sitting with my grandson at the feeding him, I came to my mind, I thought about how Yahweh, I said, I'm trying to see, you can see kind of like Yahweh does, like, he gives you like an insight on things. Like, and so when he says in his word, Amos, that he would, his prophets would know what he'd do. And Yariel brought that out on his Friday night teaching, if I'm not mistaken. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things. Yeah, they belong to Yahweh, but his he won't withhold anything from his servants. As you continue to obey his laws, commandments, and statutes, he won't withhold that. And then you see in his Torah, even when our forefathers was disobedient, Judah, and went into 70 years of captivity, Israel still prospered. He told Jeremiah, he said, tell them, you still don't prosper, but don't fight against them. Brother Darewell brought that out when he was in the book of Jeremiah. He brought that out so eloquently and nice. And it makes it go down there, you're going to build homes, you're going to you know, but don't fight against them, because this is part of your punishment. This is part of your chastisement. Like, if you use the word chastisement, why? Yahweh chastise those he correct, those whom he love. And it's what it tells, those things are written for examples, written for our learning. So when we're going through, we can sit back and ask why. Like Brother Mariel always would say, ask why this happened. Certain things I'm sharing with him, so if you sit back and ask Yahweh why that happened, I never really thought of that way. You can ask Yahweh, because Brother Mariel's name is Manifestation. So I start doing that. Sometimes he'll give it to me right then. Then sometimes it might take months. Weeks, months. And they go, oh, that's why that happened. And there's some things I didn't know why it happened at all. I said, why did that happen? And a Bible story will come across the story of Samuel. Saul was sent out to find some donkeys for his father. And during that process, a lot of things transpired. They met the man of God, Samuel. And during that time, he became the anointed Holy One of Israel, first king of Israel. Bless the first king of Israel. We know there's only one king. He's the all-reigning, all-time king. That's Yahshua, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But some things in our lives happen. One question you ask, God will give you clarity, or give you a little bit more insight on why those things happen. And then what I come to find out is Proverbs 3:3-5. Trust in Yahweh with your own heart, and not your own understanding. He shall direct your path. So some things you may not never get the clarity or grasp and go, why the heck? I still ask sometimes. But what I'm going to share real quick. Oh, I was sitting with my grandson, and so I thought about it. I said, okay, the first time, what happened the first time? It was Cain and Abel. Cain got mad, he got robbed, he slain his brother. Oh, okay. That was two. Just two people involved. Oh, excuse me. Adam, and Eve. Come on. Adam disobeyed. He disobeyed too, but Adam disobeyed. Nothing didn't start rolling or transpiring until Adam ate from the tree of good, evil, and bad, good knowledge and bad knowledge. Wasn't when Eve did it, Adam, because while he was giving the instruction, and he was the head, so that's okay. Then it rolled down and said it was Noah. Well, okay, we can't forget Enoch, a righteous person, to show you that always somebody remnant, a righteous person. Well, excuse me, I can't forget Seth, because Seth replaced it Abel. So, okay. And they said, because of Noah's righteousness, eight souls were saved. Man, eight souls were saved. And it made me think. I said, man, okay. It was Noah, his wife, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and Noah. There's eight. And then the whole world that we live in right now started all over again because of the eight, because Yahweh had mercy and showed grace and favor on them. So everything started from there. He washed everything away, washed everything clean of the flood. And then some time went on, and I started thinking of the Abraham situation, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, Abraham's situation, when him and Lot had to separate, because they had so much, Yahweh blessed them so much, that they had to, you know, because the herdsmen was fighting over, you know, like parts where Lot with grave. So he said, go ahead, Lot. Abraham allowed him to pick. And Lot chose, he looked over the plains, and he chose a side that looked, I guess, to him more plentiful or more beneficial. And it made me see something like the old saying that we had when we young, grass look greener on the other side. Somebody said, not sure. Let me read that. They might not even be talking to me because we got threads. Apologize for that. Not sure. Oh, okay. I know what that means. That was pertaining to a text. Told her, sis. But it doesn't matter if it wasn't 3 years old, sis. That still was two lines, a male and a female line. If it had been 3 months old, I'd have been scared. Would have been scared. But getting back, the grass may look greener on the other side. And then when I also learned something was that Abraham gave Lot the choice to fit. And I said, I want to know if Lot should have humbled himself, even though he got the choice. So he had humbled himself and said to his uncle, who was like his father, really, if you think about it, Abraham was like Lot's father because his brother had died. you pick because you my elder. Which one you want? You know, I just was thinking like that. So Lot went his way. We know how the story goes. He was amongst the elders and he set up the gate, but he went to a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know how that story goes. That was back then. What's now how the world is turning to the whole world itself. Not just a certain country or state. It's like the whole world itself, the darkness is trying to reappear, or it's here already. It's not a reappear. But it was a city of homosexuality, which is abomination to God. And the sad thing is, it always has been, and it always will be. So back then and now, like Hebrews 13:7 said, God sure the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is the new way of new kind of LGBT, well, because it got initials now, LGBTQ. No, it's still abomination. Like whatever title you put on it or try to dress it up, it's still abomination. And so we know how that story goes. Abraham pleaded. He atoned. Basically, he was like, what if it's 50 people? You know how it went. It's 45. But before that, Yahweh said, I'm not going to keep nothing from my friend Abraham. Yahweh appeared with him with two angels and told him what was going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. Yahweh knew that Abraham, nephew Lot, did that. He knew that. That's why he told him that. Did he have to tell Abraham that? No, but that's something to show us that Yahweh is always there. He said, listen, we have a mighty one that has ears that hear, eyes that see, hands that can deliver, and a heart that he feels our pain too. Like in the song we sing, be grateful. Yah can't promise you sunshine all the time. So with a little rain, a little of Yah's rain, makes you appreciate the good times. And every pain you feel, he feels them too. And so I'm trying to learn now in my life, 55 years old now, even when something don't go my way so much, like James instructs me, watch my tongue, but not only watch my tongue, don't you start murmuring or doubting me, because why? Because you turning to be a double-minded man on the Shabbat. You turning? Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And so it let me see, like, man, murmuring got our forefathers in a lot of dilemmas back then. And murmuring can get you in a lot of dilemmas right now. I had to learn. So even when I can't see, that's why I always say, if you notice in my prayer, what my spiritual is, my spiritual eyes, I need Yahweh to open my eyes up, like what was it, Second Kings chapter 5. Elisha, his servant, was with him and said, man, we outnumbered, we might bow down. And that's when I didn't know, Father, Yah, open up his eyes so he can see who's with us. And you know how the story goes, not even real. When he opened up, he seen all those heavenly host angels. Some of them legions that Yahshua told them. When they was crucified, he said, you know, I could call a legion. I could call some angels right now, and this thing be done. And we realize what an angel capabilities are. Remember, an angel touched Father Jacob's hip and said he walked with a limp the remainder of his life. You find that, I think, Genesis around 20, yeah, start about 25. He walked with a hip, a limp the rest of his life. That was just a touch from an angel. I remember growing up, it was a show called Touch. And I said, okay. But it just lets you see the power and the magnitude of an awesome being that's created by our most, our Father. And he thinks of enough of us that he made us in his image, which we want to say image in his, Rabbi said something for us to look at. He said it's going to be our next topic. Who let him find it interesting? Because a lot of people don't understand it. We're made in this image to where we can get the intellect, the thought. And also, if you believe the word, if you believe it, we are literal gods. Because why? Scripture can't be broken, Yahshua said. So we are that. But in order to be those literal gods, we have to be obedient to the God, the Most High. That's how that formula works. It's not just a, just because. No, it's just this thing that got to go along to be for these things to manifest and for these things to be. See, we serve a righteous God, a true and just God. If he just said that and you don't have no guidelines or boundaries to follow, you'd be a liar. The truth wouldn't be in him because he's a God of order, not a God of confusion and decency. But, and so I was thinking, Lot, it was, so Abraham, Yahweh told me, said, okay, Abraham, if it's 20, if it's 10, did Yahweh help him out? Even if it's 10 people, Abraham, I'll save the city. And when you look at that, I said, how do you get the 10? Put a piece of paper. Write a piece of paper. So how did you get to 10? I thought about Lot, his wife. That's two. Lot had two daughters. If I'm not mistaken, two daughters. That's two. So that's Lot two. So that's what? 2, 4, 6. Is that 8? No. Noah and his wife. Three sons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What's wrong with my account, man? Noah, his wife, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 people in that family. Apologize for them. Okay. Each son got a wife, so that make you go 6. Yeah, Abraham wife make the 8th person. I mean, Noah's wife made the 8th person. I apologize. Right. So Lot and his wife. Lot and his wife. That's 2 people. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. And I believe Lot had, that's like I'm going to see someone. Jack this up. Go bear with me real quick. I just want to see how many, I forgot how many daughters. I think Lot had 2. Yeah, Lot had 2 daughters. I don't have to look on that. Because he had 2 daughters, and out of the 2 daughters came Moab and Ammon. It's a other nation. Bang. But okay, so help me out since I got that, though. First, that's, I mean, in that family, Lot, his wife, 2 daughters. So that's 1, 2, 3. That's 4. And each daughter had a person betrothed to get married. So that'd be what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's how it's number going. So Noah's first time was 6. With Noah, it was 6. I mean, 8 people. 3, and it was funny how y'all would never see this. It was 3 sons that took 3 wives. 6. And then him and his wife, Miss Noah, made 7, 8. You don't hear that much about Miss Noah's wife. That's it. Now, with the Lot instance, when Yahweh said, even if it's 10 people, Yahweh knew Lot was thinking about Abraham was thinking about Lot, his nephew, and his family. But what Yahweh let me see was that Abraham, even if it wasn't six righteous people there. Because you know he's thinking about his family. If it was just one righteous person, Yahweh would have saved him. Because we know that's what really happened. That story shows, mirrors, reflects, fast forward to what? This Yahshua came and gave his life. Yeah, for the whole world, for a number, amount of righteous people remaining, but he really came for one person to redeem, be the kinsman redeemer of who? Adam, the first man who fell to sin. So that's why Yahweh could tell Abraham, yes, Abraham, if it's 10 people, 5, I would come back. If it was just one, he came back. Because that's what he really came back. Yahshua came back to get Adam, to redeem Adam, and then what? And we all fall under Adam. So he came back. You know, and then that's when you can put out yourself in it individually. And that's the story. And it made me see how, like, man, Noah had 8. Sodom and Gomorrah just had 6 people. But then out of that 6 people, like I said, you don't hear about Noah's wife. You just hear about his 3 sons. But in Lot's position, his wife, when she was leaving, she turned back. And then the 2 daughters, their husbands didn't come at all. I was like, whoa, they didn't even come at all. So I said, how we can be in the world, and we can be around people that's righteous or whatever, and we can draw some people with us, and then some people, they're not going to be interested, and you can't draw them because the cares of the world took over them with, they didn't even, you read the account in Genesis, they didn't even leave out with Lot and this Lot and they betrothed wives, fiancés, or whatever you want to say. They didn't leave, they stayed. And then we know the story. They stayed there and never came out. Where Miss Lot, she turned around. Where he said, don't look back. And so she turned around, because you know what the warning was. The judgment was you would turn into a pillar of salt. And so therefore, then that just left 3 people, Lot and his 2 daughters. And you know, and you can find the rest of how that story goes. But it just amazed me, and Ruth came to my mind when I was just looking at these things. But Ruth, Naomi and her husband had left because it was a famine. They left Bethlehem, and they went to Ruth was a Moabite, I believe, yeah. And they went there, you know, making out pretty. And they had 2 sons. And they 2 sons. Yeah, Naomi and her husband. Her 2 sons. Her husband died. Naomi's husband died, and her 2 sons died. Her 2 sons had 2 wives. Ruth was one of them. Naomi told them to go ahead back, because I'm going back to my home. I'm going back to, I think the famine had one. She said, nothing we can do. That was a time when women wasn't like now, like employment for women was like available, like it is now in the modern time. If you live now, yes, you always had Proverbs 30, tell you about the virtuous woman, but not everyone is in a position like that. you had what? Deborah. Remember Deborah and the judges? She was one of the judges. And we had what? Judith in the pocket for books. She had money and wealth. So she told them to go stay and find your husband. The one left. The other son's wife, widow, she left. But Ruth said, you know how the story, but Ruth said, I'm not leaving you. She said, you'll be your God. Your people be my people. Your God will be my God. So right there, that's when Ruth, she made a choice. She made a decision. She turned away from all her ways and customs that she was raised as a Moabite. She became an Israel. If I'm not mistaken, she's like in the lineage of Yahshua. Great, 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 great. Because she went on to become redeemed by Boaz, Naomi's husband people. So let me see, it made me see how Yahweh, everything in Yahweh, 851 says, let me see everything in Yahweh's system, because what I got you, family, I was going back through numbers, and when I was going through numbers, I seen how like everything in the world would be a little like, and it'd be less chaos if we just went back, study to show ourselves approved like we instructed in the letters, the New Testament letters at that. And Second Timothy, prove all things, everything would go back. Because what I was reading, I think it was in Numbers 37, 38, whatever, after the inheritance, was like the city of refuge, where after they got the allotments, Yahweh told them to put six cities of refuge. So if a person mistakenly murdered someone, they could run there to the city of refuge, and they could stay in the city of refuge, and a family member that was mistakenly murdered, the family member could not revenge the family death. And it made me see when Yahweh said, vengeance is mine, thus said Yahweh, because that person was allowed to live in that city of refuge, one of those six cities of refuge, until the high priest that got anointed with the anointing oil, so he died, and then he was allowed to go back to his heritage, to the land of his father that was allotted. And I found that interesting. I said, man, so, and then, Yahweh tells you, if a person was hit with iron, a stone in his hand, large enough to kill them, a piece of wood, something blunt, and that they're murdered. Yeah, they have to die. But if it was a mistake, they would allow them to go to somewhere And I thought about our system, our penal system in America. A lot of people in prison right now, we had laws for like second degree murder, third degree, second degree manslaughter. A lot of people that's in prison behind things that it was a mistake. They had to react or counter-react, and now they may not be living. They may, and they got put in prison for 20 years, 30 years, or life. And I thought about it, we just took Yahweh and abide by his ways. And he said, vengeance is mine, and judges can't take ransom or bribes. Because a lot of people are incarcerated in the penal system because of bribes. And life would be, I'd say, a little more in harmony. Because why? Because that's the ways of the Most High. And then we also would have to be true. Because why? I also tell you in Deuteronomy, if you have a son, I'm not talking about a little son, little son, he's talking about like a grown man, because he says he's stubborn and he's drinking and he's indulging in a lifestyle untoward. And so you bring him to the elders, and the elders of counsel, if you still don't listen, then you stone him. So you're not talking about stoning a little person, but that's where you have to really, Proverbs 3, do you trust in Yahweh with your own heart? Are you willing to tell on your own son? See, we say, yeah, I'm down with whatever Yahweh said, the laws, whatever. But then when that come up, it's like, made me think of a teaching or something last summer, Brother Ariel taught about something was going on. And he was saying, well, he asked the question, could you turn in your own son or daughter if he did something incriminating, very, very incriminating thing? And I'm like, very sad. And that's what we would have, and that's why living this life, this way of life is a commitment. You have to do some hard things sometimes. You have to trust in Yahweh
and lean not to your own understanding. I just was thinking about it. The time of 8:55. And what else is even going? There's one more thing I want to share with you guys today. Like I said, it was 2 Samuel, chapter 24. And David, he took and did a census on Israel. He wanted to be numbered everybody. And that's how we're going to close on that. I did write some notes for this. I don't know what made me go there. I always tell the story, but it sounds very interesting. Like Yahweh is a man of his words. That's it. I'm going to find the notes real quick. Just want to share. Like I said, it really wasn't a lesson, all right? To me, it wasn't a lesson, because my mind was everywhere, just little tidbits. Okay, this is what it was. I named it, but it was formed just before the baby came. Like I said, the baby came Tuesday night. So a lot of stuff changed. I take my kufi off of my grandparents out there. Mm-hmm. And any of you children, you should respect your grandparents. Respect your grandparents too, but respect your parents for altering their lives. Because that's your children. They're just your grandparents. But it's a beautiful thing. I really don't lie, I really enjoy it. Yahweh made some things came true for me last week. I just want to say hallelujah. But it was called, what I thought it was going to be called, it was called Forms and Shadows. Forms and Shadows of Atonement. And what came to my mind was, Moshe violated Yahweh. With Yahweh, like I said, even being a man of Yahweh, you had to be committed to this lifestyle. Is why Moshe violated a command of Yahweh, where Yahweh was going to send the death angel to kill him, take his life. And what that was, and he said, well, Moses gave the law to Yahweh. He talked to Yahweh, communed with Yahweh 3 times, 40 days, 40 nights. He gave him the tablet twice. Yes, he did. But he still was going to take Moshe's life. He's going to show you Yahweh is a righteous man. He can't, what do you say, no respect of a person. Right? Moshe violated, he didn't circumcise, he violated the circumcision covenant that Yahweh gave to Abram in Genesis chapter 17, 18, we find that. Moshe didn't circumcise his first son. So when he was on the way back, that angel was going to get him. But Zipporah's son and his wife Zipporah, she circumcised his first son, and that spared Moshe's life. Okay, what was another one Yahweh showed? Oh, David, that's how I got this. It's 2 Samuel chapter 24. You can also find more on about that in 2 Chronicles 24. Because Chronicles gives you a little more filler than one of the books, like if something's in 1 Kings or 2 Kings, it also it might say, and you also can read about King Jehoiah's life in Chronicles, can't you? Can you not? So that's how that goes. But yeah, David violated. You know, David, we say David's a man at the Yahweh heart. Because he repented. Somebody sent me something. Somebody might be helping me out with something. Second Samuel chapter 24, Aki. Apologize. At the time, I couldn't even find the notes, so I was going off the top of my head. I knew it was exact part of it. David was a man at the Yahweh heart, and we know that. He wanted Yahweh to have, he set and thought and dwells like, man, I live in a house, and the Holy One of Israel don't have a place for himself, you know, for his covenant, or where he come to commune with us. And remember, David, it was on David, Spirit, that he wanted to build Yahweh a temple. We know how he couldn't build it because of him being a mighty man of war. His son, Solomon, took over in his deed, and he was allowed to build it. But 2 Samuel 24, David violated Yahweh. He said, and Yahweh gave him an ultimatum. He said, how did David violate Yahweh? I'm trying to real quick. And I should have just started out of this. Didn't share the other stuff. I'm starting to creep with stuff, yeah. Okay. David violated, and Yahweh was going to take it. Well, Yahweh gave him a choice. Didn't give Moses a choice. I noticed that. I said, he didn't give Moses a choice. He just said that angel, like, okay, he ain't circumcised. But we don't know whether Yahweh spoke to Moses while on the way, and Moses wasn't hearing him at the time, so we can't really say Yahweh didn't give him a chance. I believe Yahweh did give talk to him a few times, but it was like, okay, here it comes. And for you fellows out there that got a wife, it's a beautiful blessing that you have a wife like Abigail that helped Shimeon live a little longer. You got a wife like Zipporah that helped Moshe live. A wife like David, his first wife, Michal, that put a dummy, a mop head in the bed or whatever and act like he was in there sick. Yeah, so it's a blessing. Now, if you have some Jezebels, just keep praying. There's always hope and glory. Amen. Pray and change things. David violated Yahweh by, you say how? David violated Yahweh because he did a census. He numbered it. You might say, well, what's so wrong with doing a census, Brother Shalom? That census he did, he counted the fighting men. And remember, Yahweh, when we came out of, when we became a nation, being redeemed and brought out of Egypt bonded. Remember, he made us a mighty army. Remember the song, Yahweh the man of war. He triumphantly praise you. Yah is my strength and my song. He's my salvation. So David knew, and we know from David's life when he was a lad, they said, a small young lad, he defeated what? Goliath. With five smooth stones. Now, this Levi, in the story, if I can't recall, he only used one. I don't even think he used the other four. But Goliath ain't had nothing coming. He was going down. If I ain't mistaken, what five is the hay? Hey, I was bet. Game on down. Hey, yeah, he was going down. So David senses the fighting man not supposed to do that because only Yahweh gives a censor. Because while you see that in Numbers chapter 1, chapter 3, Yahweh counts. And Yahweh, anybody in the how to count and go with anyone over 20 years of age, you now are a man. Not like how the society say you're 18 or 21. Or Yahweh say 20 years old, and then you're allowed to fight. For Yahweh, you become one of his soldiers. That's the beginning of becoming one of his soldiers. And you might go, well, what's so bad about that? Yahweh didn't tell David to do that. And the reason why, because what I came to find out in the study, Exodus chapter 30, starting at verse 11 to 16, when you do a census, each person you censor, or you tally from the census, they have to give an offering. See, so Joab, that's why it's good to have a homeboys, people say, or for the sisters, a homegirl, or as in Hebrew, we say aki, and the sisters are akoti. It's good to have that, because why? George said, no, why are you doing that? You'll read that story in 2 Samuel chapter 24, and also, like I said, you'll find, you can get more detail in 2 Chronicles. You get a feel in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. See? George said, no, man, you're not supposed to do that, but he went on. He went on, but he had the courage, though, to tell David, no, you're not supposed to do that. So that's why if you're in any position, you don't want no yes, man. You got to be able to. That's why this, I want this way. Hallelujah. Convict. This word put on my mind from here on out. I can't just, oh, I never was a yes man. I'm going to sit there and talk about it like that. But we're going to keep it on this spiritual thing. I'm a Kohen. That's what I am. I'm a Kohen for the Most High. And I sit under, like I said, the tutelage of Yahkael Ben Goshem Ben Daniel Yahushua HaMashiach, Holy One of Israel. From here on out in the future, I can speak for myself. I can't speak for my other Kohen brothers. But I have to be on point and accountability if I see my rabbi, which is my brother, which is my IQ too, but he's my rabbi. If I see him or any other of my brothers doing something or may not understand or you know, because we be under, we get tested during seasons, because Hasatan tested Yahushua when he was in the wilderness. You find that in Matthew 3. And it said he tested him for 40 days. Well, you know, not 40 days, but he had been out there. He started the test after 40 days. Excuse me, Owen. And after he see that he couldn't make Yahshua bow down and worship to him and surrender his allegiance from Yahweh, Father Yah, to him, it said he left him for a season. So what that mean, which season he left him? But we know how seasons go, how seasons transpire. So, and then we know that was right after he got baptized. So Yahshua went through more testing for the next 3 years. Because, you know, before he gave up the ghost, he was supposed to have been like 33 years old. So he said, how do you say that, Brother Shalom? Because in order to do a priestly duty, become a priest, just like Numbers tell you, you become a man, you go to war 20. You read in Numbers also, Brother Hal. To be a priest, you have to be 30. See, Yahweh has an order for everything. So he was tested more and more. But that's that time there, that one there, that's when he showed us the power of the word in the test. That everything Hasatan came at him, he said, it is written. It is written. And that's why Yahshua had told me, like, and when something don't seem like it's going my way or not fast enough, whatever, I had to not murmur. Because that murmuring, it was written for my learning that what happened to my forefather. And I got to hold on. Like I asked, what am I going to learn from this? What did he purify me? What is this fire about? Because Peter said, count it all joy when you go through these trials, these fiery trials. And James says it also. So like I said, I learned from this story a second time. Now I see why he left me that. So if I see my rabbi doing something that's like, and not because I don't approve of him. I'm a Kohen too, but he's my brother. But I gotta. My allegiance is to Yahweh and Yahshua first, then Rabbi Yahkael, then my Kohen brother. That's how it goes. Well, we all collectively at one, but no offense, I'm sure the brothers know what I'm talking about. Is Yahweh first. It reminded me of the movie Black Panther. I fell asleep on and I woke up. That part woke me up. They were escaping, the first Black Panther. They was escaping and the king had got killed supposedly, and you know, the king had killed the new monarch. He takes over and kill everybody of the royal family. And so bam, they fleeing, and the queen, the mother of the
came at Skoriak. Said, come on, to the royal bodyguards. They said, come on, you can come with us. She did her job all the way to the end, because that was her job to fulfill the what? If anything happened to Victor the King, you're supposed to get the family out of it. So that way she did her task all the way to the end. She said, no, you must go. First. No, you come with us. And she told him before they broke up. He said, no, I'm not just loyal to who sits on the throne at the time. I'm loyal to to what the throne represents. And that woke me up. And I rewinded. I said, it kind of reminded me when Yahshua said, man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. And so when she said that, she said, I was loyal to your son and your family. I'm still showing my allegiance and loyalty to him. This is the last showing duty that I can do, because why my job is now to get you out of here. But she was saying, I can't flee. I can't run. It made me think of it when Yahshua said, count the cars and don't put your hand on the plow and turn back. See, like I said, yeah, I'm loyal to Beth Yahweh, Yahshua, my rabbi, but my loyalty is what Yahshua and my brothers, what they, what we worship, and what who's that altar, and what we do. That's where my loyalty goes to, Yahweh and Yahshua. So that's when I sang with Joab. I said, whoa, Joab really lived this. Because that takes a lot. You got to tell the king, no. The king will chip that off with your head. You remember David had the power to do that. You remember Nathan? Took a lot of hearts of Nathan. Nathan came up to him after he did the trust, did the fence, with the fence. What can I say? When he violated and broke the command. He was a dog. He slept with the guy, Uriah. Wife while he was out in battle, Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. And God told Nathan, go talk to David. Give him a parable. So he started talking to him. And then Nathan was telling me, and David got mad. I said, what? Who is this person that did that? He had all that. He said, yeah, and he just took this man, one little Eliab, and he had him. You know anything? Go get that person. That person shouldn't, whatever. He said, you want me to get him, my Lord? He said, yeah. He said, who is the person? Yes, it is you. As soon as he told him, David was convicted. That's how we get Psalms 51, I believe. Psalms 51. He said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. And that's why David considered a man at the Yahweh heart. Because soon, whenever he found out he was wrong, or whatever, he fell down. And he confessed his sins. He repented. That's what being perfect is with Yahweh. See, not this worldly standard of perfection. That's what Yahweh wants us to be. And he wants us, what I had to learn, my life to walk. He's not really into perfectionist. He's into faithfulness. How many times you going to get back up? You going to let him keep beating you and knock you down? You're going to get up again and keep praying and keep striving. Yahweh's into faithfulness. So with David violation, David did that and took Joab. Joab would tell him no. So Joab still listened to the king. Joab went out and counted. It said it took Joab 9 months. You'll read that in the... He stopped. He didn't even finish. It took him 9 months and 20 days to count the census of Yahweh army. I think it was like 800,000 of all the other men, 500,000 of Judah. So right there, it's like, what, 1.3 million? And Joab stopped. He didn't even count them all. Because, see, the violation was Yahweh didn't want David to get a big head and say, look at my army and my forces, and forget that, remember, I'm the one that was with you when you slain that bear. I'm the one that was with you when you slain that lion, when you used to be a little shepherd, before you even came and start playing the harp for Saul, before you became a mighty man of war for Saul, before you became King David, and before you killed Goliath, I'm that same one with you. So don't think it's you and your soldiers are winning. I allow them to win. See, a lot of people say, I talked to John about this. Yeah, it's my money.
And I do this, I work hard. And I said, yeah, but don't forget, if God didn't wake you up, then secondly, if God didn't give you the power to be in your right mind to get up and say, okay, I'm going, this thing is going off, waking me up, this noise, this alarm, I'm supposed to do something. Because you can just sit there, you're in your right mind, and just be wondering, what's that noise? But he gives you the right mind and go, that's the alarm, let me click it off, let me pray, and thank him for waking me up. Give me my frame of mind. And he gives you the ability to be mobile and move to go on with your day, to go to work, to be in your right mind, go to work and make that money. So we got to give God the glory. I've seen that at work. A coworker came down the street and turned in the garage, getting to wait for the arm to open up. He crashed into the arm. I was out of getting the trash. I'm like, man, what's up? My man was yo. And I looked, noticed he just wasn't right. And we had a car. I had to reach in there, put the car, because the car was drifting. I had to step in there, put the car on top. Called an ambulance. The ambulance came to him. Want to see him in the hospital. He said, I woke up. I'm up in here. He don't even realize he never, unless he went to sleep in the ambulance. He was incoherent. Took too much of his medication or something. He said, what? And God blessed him to come down that hill. Because where I work at then, it's a S-like road to come from Marfa University. And it's, he could have just drove right on off down it. Not a cliff, but it's a steep woods. And he could have got hurt. And we maneuvered the car down around that and got him. Yeah, he still was in enough right frame of mind, or that angel, and took me, made him go in the garage. I just happened to be out there and back. And then, so that's what I mean by God get you in the right mind, or God sent his angels to protect you. So people have a tendency to say, it's my power, my strength. So David, God didn't want David to do that. And then also what I've seen, David was in violation because why? Exodus 30, verses 11 through 16, I tell you, when you do a census, that's the laws he gave to Moses. You do a census, you're supposed to bring God an offering. That's why, remember, every child that was born, you remember Yahshua when he was born the eighth day, not only he went to the temple, get his name, but he had to give up his, five shekels or shekel because he was a male child. Yahweh still did those things because Yahshua didn't come yet to pay the whole redemption price with what? Not a shekel or some gold and silver, but what Peter say? With the precious blood. So we can learn from that. That it's good to have a man by your side, to the women of sister, like Joab, to go, whoa, that they know, like, we're not supposed to do this thing. And then what? Yahweh sent Gad. I think Gad came to David this time. It wasn't Nathan. Gad came. Yeah, Gad. Gad went to David. And it said, David, you find it in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 13. Verse 11, I'm going to read it in your hand. It said, Samuel 24, verse 13. Whoa. Read that. It goes like this. I'm going to read it in your hand. It said, verse 10, we'll start on verse 10. It said, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 10. It said, but after he had taken the census, David was conscience stricken. David said to Adonai, I have greatly sinned in what I have done. See, it came back to him. And see, if you look at verse 24, I didn't look at it in the Hebrew because I didn't know I was going this way. But you get a chance to look in there. I'm going to look at it later on tonight. I'll send a text out. It started off and say the anger of Yahweh blazed up against Israel. So he moved David to act against them by saying, go take a census of Israel and Yehuda. Mm-hmm. So now we can go back down to verse 10. But after he had taken the census, David was conscience stricken. David said to Adonai, I have greatly sinned. What have I done? But now, Adonai, please put aside your servant's sin. See, David asking for sin. You know how to ask for sin. I mean, asking for forgiveness. Well, I have done a very foolish thing. See,
He's confessing his sin. That's when he say confess. Because he say what it was first Corinthians chapter 7 or 2 Corinthians chapter 7 said, godly sorrow causes true repentance. Apologize, I jacked that up. As see what David said? Verse 11, when David got up in the morning, this word of Yahweh came to the prophet Gad. Yeah, okay, that was Gad that time. Gad to see it. It said, go and say to David that this is what Yahweh said. I am giving you a choice of three punishments. Choose one of them. See, Yahweh, he gave him a choice. He didn't just pick it, the judgment for him. He gave him a choice. He said, that's why I said earlier when I said, he didn't give Moses a choice, but I don't know that because why? That wasn't written for the learning. But I'm sure Yahweh being who he is, he had talked to Moses a couple of times, came to him. One of the choices of the three, and I will execute it against you. Verse 13, Gad came to David and told him, he said, do you want 7 years of famine in your land? Or do you want to flee before your enemies for 3 months while they pursue you? Now, the reason why I say that you can put a little asterisk, a little circle, highlight that, because in 2 Chronicles chapter 24:6, doesn't say 7, it says, I think it said 3 years of famine. What does the scripture say? Now this book, this scripture say 3 years of famine. This is the NIV Bible, said 3 years of famine. Okay. And well, we just read 7 in this CJB, a complete Jewish Bible. Almost said a Christian Jewish Bible. Right. It's okay. And so he said 7 years of famine in your land, or do you want to flee before your enemies for 3 months while they pursue you? Now, that NIV one, you got 3 months of fleeing, but it got 3 years of famine. Okay, now we're going to go back here and say, and that was the second thing. First one was 7 years of famine in the land. The second one was 3 months of fleeing before your enemies while they pursue you. Or the third one, do you want 3 days of plague in your land? Think about it and tell me what do you answer the one who sent you. So Gad had to come to David, just like Nathan, and tell him that. And he said, which one you want? Now, it's beautiful. We serve a mighty, awesome God. Verse 14, David said to Gad, this is very hard for me. Let us fall into the hand of Yahweh because his mercies are great rather than have me fall into the hand of man. So we know number two is out the questions, right? Because number two was what? Do you want to flee for 3 months on the run while he's pursuing you? He said, why? He supposed to be a man of war and all that. Even he has enough sense to know sometimes you got to chill. Remember? David know about some fleeing and running, don't he? Remember King Saul was trying to kill him? Remember he had to go to, who he go to, Abathar? Where he go to ask for that bread that time? And said, you ain't got no weapons? Give me the, he said, only weapon we got the sword you killed Goliath with. Let me hold that. And then when Saul, people was in the same village he was in, David had to act like he was a madman. He said, slobber, you can read that. You'll read that. When David was on the run, say he had slobbered and let Jewel come down to bed. And he went, man, all that war and that fighting and got to David. He threw. He had to act like that to get out of there. So David, he remembered that. He said, nah, I don't want to do that one. But what did he say? I'd rather fall into Yahweh's hand because his mercies are great rather than have me fall into the hand of man. Right? Because, you know, David, remember David had that thing? Goliath, who is this uncircumcised? David looked upon people like that because he knew that's who he would have been fleeing from, his enemy. Who was Israel's enemy always at that time? Those other surrounding border nations. Verse 15. So
So Yahweh sent a plague on Israel from that morning until the end of the specified time. So you see right there, the other two, what was the other two? A famine in the land for 7 years, and or 3 days of plague in your land. And see, that's the NIV standard, 3 days of plague and three days of plague in your land. Yeah, this complete Jewish Bible says set the plague from the morning until the end of the specified time. So I don't know what the specified time, I'm gonna have to look at that. I didn't know I was going this way. And it says 70,000 of the people died between Dan and Beersheba. So 70,000 people died from that plague that Yahweh did. So, and remember I said earlier, when Abraham and Lot, they had to divide because they herdsmen was quarreling amongst each other because they feed their cattle. And so he said, go ahead and pick Lot. Remember I said, Lot looked and seemed like the grass was greener, so he took the Sodom and Gomorrah side, looked more watered. Remember I said, Lot should have said, well, uncle, or he liked his father. You pick, and I take whatever's left, whatever. Message is going to be good anyway if you pick. Remember, did Lot forget when Yahweh told Abraham 12 before they all left out of the land of his father? What did he say? I'm going to bless you, make you a blessing. And I'm going to curse whoever curse you and bless you whoever curse you. So basically, that's sort of like when we grew up with the little stories. The Midas touch, Abraham had the Midas. He ain't had the Midas touch. He had the Yahweh touch. So that's why I meant when Lot should have. Maybe Lot should have asked Abraham to pick. He took what's left, like how David did. And so verse 16, but when the angel stretched out his hand towards Jerusalem to destroy it, Yahweh changed his mind, hallelujah, about causing such distress and said to the angel, destroying the people, enough. Now withdraw your hand. The angel of Yahweh was at the threshing for Aravana. I'm reading that. Messing that man's name up. Aruna, the Jebusite. And so when David saw that the angel striking the people, he said, here, I have sinned. That's verse 17. I have done wrong. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and against my father's family. And I'm going to stop right there. And let me see that, let me see Yahweh's mercies. And I've learned, that's a saying I come to learn, come across, let Yahweh be Yahweh. Because even the best thing that I could think of for myself, that ain't even good compared to what Yahweh had for me. And I know you probably say, whoa, that's a terrifying story to talk about that. Yeah, but even when it's something like that, we got to take, we can't always have, you know, the good all the time. Sometimes it takes some bad things in our lives, too, to make us see. And what I learned from this is that what Yahweh was showing was in Genesis chapter 30, 32 and 20. It's a word in Hebrew, 37, 22, the word appease, but the word really means like purge, another word for atonement. Only Yahweh can do a census. That's where it's posing. Hallelujah. Population control. You know how we got stuff called purge. Not man, like what we had heard over these last couple of years because of COVID and all that. With Bill Gates and the 1%, the people are Illuminati. You know, the people, the powers or whatever. They want to control. They say it's too many people. Population getting overcrowded. Not enough. That only Yahweh to give a life and to restore a life. And the Redeemer of life has the power to say how many people live, how many people die, or who will die and who will live. And if you're listening, my brother, it hit my heart. And I know how you feel, man. I know when you said, pray for me and my family. And the brother said, I'm going to put it out there, we all going to pray when this one finished. The brother said, pray for my daughter and my family. But I want my daughters to live if Yahweh will, he said, but I want my daughter, he said, my daughter need a heart. He said, but I don't want my daughter, what did he say? He said, but I don't want somebody else, child, gotta die to get my daughter. The man said that. I said, whoa. Yahweh going to intervene in this. And like I said, I ain't no prophet or whatever, but everybody know what I say. Let Yahweh be Yahweh, and Yahweh will be done. Trust not, lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge Yahweh in everything. Only Yahweh can see the good in every, in all circumstances. People say, you got a nerve to say, it ain't your child. Yeah, but I lost a mother. I lost a father. A loss to someone you love, that's a thing. And you can be the toughest Tony or whoever you is. But on your own quiet time, even tough Tonys get broken. Because who can break them? Yahweh. We see what happened to David. So Aki, like I always say, I admire you with that prayer. And you know, that was good. But I'm going to tell you, being a brother and Aki, let Yahweh be Yahweh. This one is out your league. I feel what you say, what you said, and that was beautiful. But this one, just like we just seen what Yahweh did, his mercy, what David said, let Yahweh mercy, whatever he choose to do, how he choose it, he's the control. He's in control. And if we don't even understand what maybe the outcome is at this time, one day we will. And that's why when I say that, I understand this, what this lesson came to. Man don't have no right to tell it ain't enough, it's too many people here, whatever, because Yahweh didn't want somebody to be born or whatever. They wouldn't have been conceived when their parents got together. So we need to go back to Yahweh. Like I was thinking about how the land of, what is it, refuge, you mistakenly murdered somebody or whatever. You need to go back to the ways of Yah. You wouldn't have all this sense to kill it like that if you knew that, you up, buddy. He coming to get you. Oh, it wouldn't be too many of that. It wouldn't be all this gangster. Nah. So that's what Yahweh let me see on this thing. And we living in the times right now that these things are going to manifest again. It's nothing new under the sun. He just brings it in another way. But for his servants to be obedient and listen and humble his word, we stand fast and he there. We got to remember Daniel, the three Hebrew boys, when they was, chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. The king said, what is this? You're not going to bow down to me? Nah, king. You need time to talk it over. He said, we don't need to huddle and talk over nothing. Almost says, V-A-M-N. We don't need to huddle over nothing. But we fully persuaded. Yet Yahweh be Yahweh. He said, who's this Yah, that God you serve? You think he can save you? He said, not only he can save us, but if you choose not to save us, I had to live my life like that. I still ain't bowing down to you, O king. And I'm still going to honor Yahweh. Because why? We learned that from the Maccabees chapter 7, second Maccabees chapter 7, the woman with the seven sons and even herself that ate. And she being a woman, points to the church, they all got persecuted. But they all said, one day I'll see my Redeemer again, like Job said. Because we serve the mighty one, not only the giver of life, but when he tell us, don't fear man that can just take away the life. Fear the one that can take the soul. Remember, Adam was made out of dust. And this is, what is it? Genesis 2:7 says, Yahweh blew in him and made him, blew the ruach and made him a living soul. Only Yahweh know what it takes to stuff out a soul. That's why he only give us, because we on earth, he just give us little analogy about what? Ashes.
Like he said, you burn it up and what burn up a bundle or whatever, it's nothing but ashes. He's giving that to give us some kind of insight. We learned with Brother Darewell taught in Esther, second Esther, I believe. I like from how fire, how wind or water or something. So these things, this God that we serve, he has everything under control, even when it look like it's all chaos. We have nothing to fear as long as you continue to trust in Yahweh. Lean not to your own understanding. If Yahweh be for me, nothing that what man can do. Any circumstances, whatever come our way, Hashatan, because we believers, we believe in this Torah. I know we do. Whatever come our way that's hurtful and painful, he had to ask Yahweh, can he do it to us? And Yahweh said, you can do that, but you can't do that. You can do this, can't do that. And then that's when I had to say, man, who am I that you got that much faith in me? He's like, yep, sure enough, you, Shabbat. But on that note, that's enough. That's 9:36. On that note, we're going to just close on that. I'm going to do the closing prayer. Where is the closing prayer? Excuse me, let me say it right one. Amen, Aki Wendell. Let Yahweh be Yahweh. I had to learn the hard way. I had to shut my mouth with that murmur. But when it was all said and done, yeah, did it feel comfortable? Nope. But did it make me better than some of the things I went through? Oh, yeah. So now when I share things and talk to a person, this ain't my grandmother testimony. This ain't my father or mother testimony or somebody, Miss Sally at the church when I was little or whatever, or somebody on TV. This is what I did and been through. So it's more powerful and more conviction. So when a person hears it, hit a spirit person coming from this spirit and go, woo, and that can strengthen a person and make them get up. Like Ahabel said, can them dead bones, can they get life again? Yeah, when we stay truthful and walk in this word and this Torah, yes, they can. That's how they get the power. Ain't nothing we can do. It ain't nothing. Ain't nothing we can do. The only thing, yeah, I think that we can do, keep on looking and following Yahweh and letting them lead. Father, Yah, forgive me of my sins and trespasses. I decrease and you increase. Forgive me if I didn't bring anything that you wanted me to bring. Father, Yah, continue to comfort us and encourage us. Watch over our spiritual leader, Brother Yaakov. Keep him under your head and comfort him. And continue to give him light. Watch over all the Kohen. I'm going to name them all. Brother Ahabel, continue to watch over him, strengthen that brother and his household and his family and his daughter, and pray for his daughter and his family so they can all be strengthened and they can all be together and be that strong war for each other individual. Pray that his daughter heart, you heal the heart, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You already know the outcome before we do, but we know what we just read with David. You can change and do anything you want. Because you God, you don't do no crazy changes. You do it within your boundaries of righteousness and mercy and grace that a human man can't understand. Yes, Malachi say you change not, but it's not talking about you don't change from good righteousness to unrighteousness. You change from righteousness to righteousness and keep building. Watch over Sister Debbie, continue to heal her. Continue to heal Brother Dan Well as he strengthens your walk. Continue to heal Brother Chef Well as he still battling and recovering from his ailment from 2020 COVID. Continue to heal all of our kings, Brother Uriel, Brother Ariel, Brother Mariel, Brother Kunuk, all. Excuse me, apologize for that. Brother, watch over all the other brothers in the congregation, Brother Ivy, Brother Mataya, and Brother Marcus. All the sisters, Brother Darlene, Brother Maroya, Maria, Brother Khalifa, Sister Khalifa, Sister Maria, Sister Donna, Sister Muna, Sister Bithia, Sister Sandra, Sister Denasia, Sister Eliana, Sister Danielle Dial. That should be all my sisters, right? And Sister Elisheba, thank you, blessing her, give her another a year of being a servant for you. That should be all my sisters. And continue to teach and lead and guide them to be ambassadors of Yahweh, to teach other sisters out here in this world to be ambassadors of Yahweh. As Titus 2 commissioned, to tear down the spirit of Jezebel, this hidden out of feminism, which is nothing but unauthorized conduct, unseemly conduct for a female. They're supposed to be mild and pleasant, not what they're showing them on in the world now. You don't even know a woman don't supposed to act like that. A man not even supposed to act like that. That's a shame. Watch over all our teenagers. Watch over the young children in the congregation, and our family members, friends, and our co-workers. All of Israel, knowingly and don't knowingly, let them come out of them, our people, and continue, Father Yah, to make us be the light and the salt of this world. Be your children, be your spokesman, Father Yah. Be in season and out of season, even when it's not comfortable. And let us not be yes men. Let us be like Joab, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7:13. I'm not a man pleaser. If it is, I'm wasting my time. I can't work for the Most High. I put my hand on this plow, and I ain't turning back. I got to have the same faith and belief of the three Hebrew boys. If you don't believe, save me, oh, well, I just got to go down like this. So, Father, y'all, whenever I didn't pray, pray for me, because the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, said you know to pray for us when we need it. Help heal me. Thank you for making my arthritis in my wrist stop aching finally yesterday. Appreciate that. Praise you. And if it didn't stop aching, I still thank you that I can feel the pain in my wrist. Some people can't feel it. So I got to learn to stop complaining about whatever. Father, y'all, watch over all of us. Make us good stewards over your word and your finances. Blessed are you, Yahshua, our mighty one, King of the universe. This must be the end of our travails, a start and beginning for redemption of our souls, for you have chosen your people, Israel, from all the nations, and you have set forth the decrees of the new moons for us. Blessed are you, Yahshua, who sanctifies Israel, the new moon. Hallelujah. Beth Yahweh, enjoy the rest of your evening. Shalom. Man. Give me, Father. Oh, I messed that up.